Now, may I call your attention, brothers and sisters, to the second reading that I read for you just a moment ago, to the Gospel of Mark chapter 7. And there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, you will find the Holy Bible informing you that our Lord Jesus Christ had gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ went out of the land of the Jews, and he had now entered the territories of the land of the Gentiles. He was in the land of Syria, as it were, in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, brothers and sisters, you would have remembered in your Bible reading that in places you find the Lord Jesus Christ making this statement, that I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24. And yet here, brothers and sisters, we find our Lord Jesus Christ leaving the land of the Jews, leaving the land of the east of Israel, and then now venture into the land of the Gentiles. Is he, brothers and sisters, was he here at this point breaking his own words? I am not sent but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. And elsewhere, you also would have found the Lord Jesus Christ giving the same command to his apostles. As he sent them out to preach the gospel, as he sent them out, he made this command for them. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Again, you find it here recorded in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to verse 6. But here, brothers and sisters, we are clearly told here in Mark chapter 7 that our Lord Jesus Christ has gone out of the land of the Jews into the cities of the Gentiles. And not only that, as you read along this section of the passage that I've read for you, you find that he went there mainly to meet a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician mother of another nation, not a Jew. Well, brothers and sisters, what do you learn here? That is what I'm calling your attention to this evening. What is a lesson for you here? And we find three lessons, brothers and sisters, and I hope to communicate to you and convey to you with great excitement. We learn here, brothers and sisters, and I hope you see it too, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come together a people. God has a people in this world. Yes, generally in the past, they would be found among the nation of Israel, but not just in the nation of Israel. God had a people, and some of them, they were not in the nation of Israel, in its borders and territories. They were found outside of the land of Israel, and here too, brothers and sisters, beyond the country of the Jews, as we are told here, the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, as you read about our Lord going out of Israel, as it were, to the region or the borders of Tyre and Sidon, you would have this idea that it may be a random decision. Maybe the Lord was just bored, and so he wanted to try something new. But brothers and sisters, there's a very horrible thing to think of our Lord. Our Lord is the governor. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who holds this world, this creation in his hand. Nothing is out of sync, and everything is in perfect order. A careful of the life and the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ, the itinerary of our Lord, you will discover, brothers and sisters, that in all his traveling, there was always the awareness of a higher plan. The Lord would not do anything, go anywhere, or say anything that is not according to this divine plan that he came to fulfill. Even though, brothers and sisters, Christ had commanded his apostles not to enter any city of the Samaritans, yet we are told in John chapter 4 and verse 5 that he himself, who said that he has come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that he would not go and venture into even the city of the Samaria, yet he himself went to a city of Samaria by the name of Sychar in John chapter 4 and verse 5. And if you were to ask, why did he go to Sychar? What was his reason? You would have found that in John chapter 4 and verse 4, that the reason is this, that Jesus needed to go through Samaria on that journey. Now, it's not true, physically speaking, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his travel from the southern part to the northern part of Galilee, that he needed, it was necessary to go through, to cut through as a shortcut or whatever, the land of Samaria. That was not true, because the Jews would cross the Jordan River to the eastern side and then make their way up north. So it was not true. In what sense then was Jesus communicating here when it is recorded there in John chapter 4 and verse 4 that he needed to go through Samaria at that point in time on that particular one journey? Why was it necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to go through Samaria? Well, brothers and sisters, the reason is this. That on that particular journey, he must meet with a Samaritan woman, as you are told there, who would be exactly at a point in time, she would come to draw water on that day. And while he was there, he will meet with this woman in John chapter 4 and verse 7. If the Lord were to delay, if the Lord were to come on another day, that particular Samaritan woman may not be where the Lord Jesus Christ would meet him here in the town of Sychar, as we are told here. And so you see, it was necessary on this planned trip, according to this itinerary, he must go and he must take this journey. He must be on the road and he must reach a particular spot, because God has a people. And this Samaritan woman was among that people that Christ has come together. And the Lord has come, as it were, seeking for his lordship. And he knew, as the sovereign Lord, that that one particular lordship would be there, and that he will go ahead, and he will be waiting for that lordship to come back to him. Isn't that a wonderful picture, brothers and sisters? I wonder whether you are the lordship of Christ this evening. Do you know that the great shepherd of your soul, he is searching for his lordship? And where are you hiding? And will you come, brothers and sisters, to him? Will you show yourself and elect? Will you show yourself by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I have spoken in this way to people, and it's very disheartening to hear people saying, if I don't feel like coming means I'm not elect, right? And if I'm not elect, then leave me alone. Because there's nothing I can do. Because I'm not elected, selected by God. And I have to tell such people that if you realize you have not come, if you realize you do not have faith in Christ, well, the more you must plead with God to give you faith rather than give up your own future, give up your own life. Isn't this silly of you? When you know that if you cannot be received a COVID-19 vaccine because of some crimes that you commit in Singapore, the government say people like you will not be given. Will you not plea because you have young children? Will you not go to the government and lodge an appeal and say, please, 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 for the sake of my children, please give me the vaccine that I may not die, that I may not get the coronavirus? You will plea. How much more you must come to your Creator God and plea with him, save me, save me, even though I don't even know how I am to be saved or with what I must do to be saved. Save me, Lord. Save me. That is what you must do. Well, you find here the Lord Jesus Christ meeting with a Syrophoenician woman. As it were, in the same manner as a Samaritan woman, the Lord made this journey. The Lord made this journey for only one reason. Because he knew that he would be meeting this woman. There was a divine appointment made with this woman. And I just wonder, brothers and sisters, would that be said about your children? That there will come a point in time when your sons and your daughters would also meet with God and come to see the loveliness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see it again and again in the itinerary of our Lord. For example, his meeting with Zacchaeus. If you turn there to Luke 19, the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, you will find that in verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ lifting up his eyes and saw Zacchaeus on the tree, the branch of a tree, looking at him as he was crowded. There was a crowd around him. He was too short. He couldn't see the Lord. And so he climbed up a tree. And when at that exact point, the Lord stopped and the Lord looked up, and there he was, and addressing him in his personal name, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come now, for today I must abide in thy house. Isn't it amazing? The same word, I must, is the same word used earlier on about the Samaritan woman. What do you mean by you must stay in the house of Zacchaeus? There are so many houses. You have so many friends. There are the inn there in the town. What do you mean? Well, he must. Because brothers and sisters, that was the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ made that journey. He went to that place and he went there to seek Zacchaeus. And as life would show and the later event would reveal, Zacchaeus indeed showed a repentant heart, a true heart, true faith in Christ, promising repentance and promising a new life he would live from then on because he had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the reason is this. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, you are told, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Brothers and sisters and children here, do you believe in this? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the person who has come to seek and to save that which was lost? That you are lost? That you were born lost from God? You are born in sin? That without the mercy of God, you will continue to die in your sin? And that you will perish in the fire of hell? And Christ is come, and he came to seek the lost, his lost sheep, and he has a people, and his people will come to him. I hope this evening, as you come here to mark the close of the Sabbath day today, you come with this awareness. Lord, despite all the mess I have created in my life, despite all the mistakes I made, despite all the harm, all the relationship that has been harmed by me, oh, I thank you that there is mercy for me because I'm a sinner. I know Christ is precious. When you look at the conversion of a lady by the name of Lydia, in the Acts of the Apostles, you find the same higher purpose of God in the arrangement of the traveling, the itinerary of the Apostle Paul. You remember, brothers and sisters, if you have read the Acts of the Apostles, that the Holy Spirit had forbidden Paul to remain in the region of Asia. Paul, his intention, as his human intention, was that he wanted to just concentrate on the region of Asia Minor in what is Turkey today, and then really do a thorough job of reaching every town and every area in that region. But the Holy Spirit stopped him and directed him to go over to Europe, to Greece, to Macedonia at that point in time. And so Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia, and so he realized that the Holy Spirit was asking him not here, but to go across into Europe. He obediently took the journey, and so he traveled according to this higher plan of God. When he came to the town, the city of Philippi, on that day, he was able to meet with this lady by the name of Lydia, who came from the city of Thyatira. On a Sabbath day, as they met there on the riverside for worship. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, that the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. If Paul had remained one more day, he would not meet with this lady in Philippi on the Sabbath day. If Paul had come 1 week later, maybe the lady had gone back to Thyatira. We don't know. But right there, there is no mistake about it. God knows where you are, and God knows exactly his love for you at a certain point in time. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is with great confidence that a Christian can say that all things work together for good to those who love God. Isn't it? That even if the result had not been very attractive and very pleasing to you, maybe your PSLE, you didn't do very well. Maybe your O-level, A-level, or whatever level exams, you did not do very well. And maybe you are retained for one more year and you feel so embarrassed, dare not tell people in the church. It doesn't matter. Because God knows where exactly you are. This church, when this church was constituted, one of the pastors who came to participate in the ordination and constitution of this church was a man called Dr. Patrick Tan. And this was what he himself told us When we were in Bible school together, he said this, that in his final year, that he did not finish his exams. And the reason why was he failed. And it was so embarrassing as a medical doctor that if you would ask him, he said that he failed, and then he didn't know what to do. And he had to take the exam a few times. Then he realized in his final attempt to clear the exam that a new course was offered in the medical faculty, and he took that course on top of preparing for the exam that he had not been able to clear. He passed both. And when he graduated, he became a specialist in the area that was offered in the new course. And years later, you know that he served in SAF, and he was quite high ranking, and he was a specialist in this area of medicine that was very new in Singapore then. And then upon reflection, he said, the Lord had to stop me. And the Lord knows exactly where He wanted to use me later on in my life. And I hope by this example that you will be encouraged, whatever mistakes or whatever difficulties you may be experiencing at the moment. Maybe your business is really stuck in this COVID world. Maybe your job is threatened. Maybe you do not know what to move or how to move forward. Maybe you're having some family issues. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call you to this passage of the Word of God. And be assured that the Lord does not take a journey for fun. There is always an intended God's divine purpose in the journey that He took. On this journey He took to meet with a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician woman, as we are told here. Christ has gone to meet this woman. Do you believe, brothers and sisters, that when you pray and when you call upon this same name, Jesus Christ, do you believe that He hears you and He knows all things about you? Long before He went on this journey, the Lord already knew that He would meet with this lady, and that this lady had a child, and that the child was demon-possessed, and that He would go, brothers and sisters, to heal the child. Do you not believe the Lord knows your struggles? I hope you do. And the Lord has gone to that area of the world to seek a lost sheep. Do you, brothers and sisters, confess that you are also of this group, of this flock, that you too has been found by our Lord, the Great Shepherd? And I trust that you do, and your children too. The second lesson I call your attention to this evening is here taken from Mark chapter 7, verse 25 to verse 26, where you are clearly taught that God gathers His people and that His people are saved by grace alone and not by the race they are born into. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek. The word there, Greek, can be translated. The woman was a Gentile, a non-Jew, a Syrophoenician by nation, by race a Syrophoenician, and by nationality too. And she besought Him that He would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. You find, brothers and sisters, that God has a people on earth. And the people of God on earth, they come from different races of men and women, boys and girls. They come from different nations. It is not true that the God of the Bible is only the God of the Jews. It is only the Jews who have a first take, and that we are actually not meant to be the people of God as it is taught by some people. That is clearly, I hope you see here, not true. Jesus did not come and confine Himself to the four corners of the land of the Jews. He went out. He did not go out to seek other Jews. He went out. And it is clearly, intentionally described for you that He went out, and He went out to meet a Gentile. And not only a Gentile, even her nationality is given to you, Syrophoenician. And so we are told. But that is not surprising. To some people, it is surprising, but it is not. Because in the beginning of time, even in the time of Abraham, God already made known that Abraham is not the father of the Jews only. And that is something that we have always been overlooked. And so let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. And with fresh eyes, let us look carefully at what God exactly said about his covenant. To Genesis 17, verse 4 to verse 5, we read, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations," not the father of the Jews. That's how people read it. And that is why they elevated Jewish people as if they are so near to heaven. They only need to take one step and they are into heaven. But that's not what the Bible says, that Abraham is the father, the ancestor of the Jews. So no, of many nations. And then he went on to say, "Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham." And what does it mean? "A father of many nations have I made thee." So you see, brothers and sisters, it has always been God's intention to save his people, to gather his people. And his people do not made up of Jews only. They come from different nations and different people. Salvation is by the grace of God alone and not according to your race. Whether you are a Chinese, an Indian, a Sri Lankan, or a Caucasian, or whatever it may be, it is of no importance. Because God is calling and God is gathering a new race of humanity. As we are told there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The King James Bible translated it as a chosen generation. The word generation can also be translated a chosen race. And that is interesting. The Bible is saying that when you become a Christian, you become members of a special race. You are no longer Chinese, you are no longer Indian, you are no longer, yes, you are, but in a sense you are not, because you have become a member of a different, a special race in the presence of God. You are now a Christian. And so from now on, when you fill out application form under race, please put Christian. And if people were to say, "But there's no such thing," put there 1 Peter 2:9. And get the civil servants to earn their salary. He is not the father of the Jewish nation only. We thank God that we who are Gentiles, we have a share in Abraham. That we can in all honesty say that Abraham is also our spiritual father. And we thank God for that. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." When you say that we are children of Abraham, it's not about your race. It is about your faith. It is about the faith of Abraham. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Galatians. This is what you learn from the prophet of old. That God's prophets did not come to service the people of Israel only. Even in ancient time, you find that God sent his prophets, not just for the Jews only, but that he sent his prophets to minister to his elect, his people who are made out of men and women, boys and girls of different races. Please turn with me to the words of our Lord in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And there in Luke chapter 4, isn't that what you learn? From our Lord himself in Luke 4 verse 25 to verse 27. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them," listen, "unto none of them was the prophet of God Elijah sent, except unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon," a Gentile city, "unto a Gentile widow," a woman that was a widow. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of the prophet, Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except," or saving, "Naaman, the Syrian," the Gentile, What does it tell you, brothers and sisters? It tells you that God is a God of all races. He's not just a God of one particular race. And Abraham, he is not a father of one race. Abraham is a father of many nations, as we are clearly told there in the very word of the Old Testament and explained to us by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. That God has a people, and that he will call his people and gather his people to himself by his grace. And he will not separate them from one another according to their races. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you remember this. This is why I suppose that extremists hate the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at our Lord Jesus Christ carefully, you will realize that even our Lord Jesus Christ, he was not a pure Jew. Look at what you are told there about his Gentile ancestor in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 6. You find there clearly in the record of the Holy Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ had Gentile ancestors. Simon begat Boaz by Rahab. And who was Rahab? Rahab was a Canaanitess. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. And who was Ruth? Another Gentile, a Moabitess. So you have a Canaanitess and a Moabitess in the family of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of a whole world and not just of one nation only. And we give thanks to God. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ has come only for the Jews, I'm not sure any of you here are Jews. But I know I'm not a Jew by race. I am done. I am finished. I'm lost. But I thank my God that there is hope for me. Because Christ has come to call a people to himself, and they are from all nations of the world. Isn't that the reason why he called his disciples to go into all nations? He didn't say, well, continue to be in the border of Israel only. No, he says, go into all the world and teach all nations. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19 to verse 20 in the Great Commission that he gave to his church shortly before his ascension to heaven. Does it not teach you, I hope to arouse your attention here, brothers and sisters, that even in that Great Commission, even in evangelism, you are actually loudly saying, God, as a people, I am involved in the work of gathering them, and they will come in different races and come from different places and speak different languages, but they will all be gathered because God has a people, and God will save his people by grace alone, and not based on their birth, based on the race designated at their birth. Salvation then, brothers and sisters, is by grace only and not by race at all. You must not think, and this is important for you, you must not think that Abraham is the ancestor of the Jews only. As I hope clear this misunderstanding. He is the father of many nations. You must not think that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to save the Jews only, the King of the Jews, as he was referred to. Because even in his own life, even in his own ancestors, you find Gentiles being listed there to remind you of the fact that God has a people and they are made up of different races of men and women, boys and girls. Is there anything special about the Jewish race? Paul tells us, of course, because it is Almighty God. When he promised the gift of the seed of the woman, when he promised the coming of the Savior of the world, it was Almighty God who chose the Jewish nation to prepare for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ would come and he would be born of a Jewish mother. And that's the truth. And he will be born in the land of the Jews. And that's equally true. And all the Old Testament institutions were all meant to teach the Christians and the people of God what this Jesus Christ would be in his three offices. And it's all true. And therefore, it's a great privilege to be of the Jewish race. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2. What advantage then have the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And so it is true, they enjoy great privileges. But that doesn't mean that the God of the Bible is God of the Jews only. The time came when God prepared for the coming of Christ. And the time came in the fullness of time. We find the Lord Jesus Christ born in the town of Bethlehem and how he grew up. And on the time appointed by God, he died on the cross of Calvary, fulfilling all the visual aids that you find in the Old Testament as it is found in the priesthood, in the temples, in the sacrifices, and everything else, Israel. And so that the Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled all this, the time has come when the land, when the nation, when the temple in Jerusalem, when the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and even the Jewish family, they are no longer, in any sense, contributing to the Lord Jesus coming. Because he has come. We are now post-coming. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, the Jews today must come the same way that we do. They must come to acknowledge this, that they are but one race among the races of people God has a people in. God had commanded that the Jews be rich first, since they were given the privilege to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, when the Lord came, the first gospel should be preached to them. And so you are told in Mark chapter 7 and verse 27, let the children be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. You realize that the Jews call other people, other races, dogs, little dogs. That's how the Jews, in their pride, commit what we would call today the sin of being a racist. Then we are also told in Acts 13 and verse 46, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says that it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life or everlasting life, lo, we turn to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. So it started with the Jews, but it went further. And now it is all over the world. Because God has a people, and they are made up of all the races of people. And God will call them out of the darkness and sin and misery out of his grace. And God does not promote one race as being more special than the others. No, brothers and sisters, that is not the God of the Bible. As we see him here, the Lord Jesus Christ, going out and going to the land for one lady. To meet this lady. Yes, there might be others, but it is this lady that is highlighted for you to see. The Lord had gone out of the way to in Samaria to meet another lady. And here, this lady. How dare you say that the Christians are sexist, that Christians are biased against women. Yeah, we are biased against a woman. Hey, women are better than men, you know. The Lord came. And the Lord always go and save woman, you know. Not fair to man. But then, brothers and sisters, we find that the Bible is indeed precious, isn't it? No wonder, and this is true observation, brothers and sisters, if you look around this evening even, there are more women than men who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that so? Because women can feel the love, whereas men are stubborn in their sin and rebellion, isn't it? We come to the last point, and then we have to be very fast now, the lack of time. We find there in chapter 7 of Mark, verse 29 to verse 30, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Look there, brothers and sisters. The power of our Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to save and to comfort and to rescue his people. I want you to take note that the little girl was not with the mother. In fact, the little girl was far away from the mother. The mother went to beg the Lord Jesus for mercy and help, and the little girl was at home. And yet, when the Lord said healed, she was healed even though she was far away. Because as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, the power of God is not limited by distance or location. And I hope you learn this very precious lesson for you and for your children. I don't know where your loved one is, or the people who are you are praying for and they are in trouble and where they are. Sometimes you just wonder, how much can you do for them? They are so far away. You can do a lot for them if you are praying for them. You cannot travel out of Singapore, and I'm sure of that, unless you have very good reason. But there is somebody who can travel on your behalf. You cannot go. Jesus can go for you. Isn't that what you are learning here, brothers and sisters? The poor mother could do nothing for the daughter. And the poor mother heard that somebody could. And the poor mother, out of her love for her daughter, went to seek that somebody who could. If he would. And he went. She went to him. And he would. And he said he will be. She will be healed. And she was healed. Will you come this evening? And will you teach your children, even though they are young, to see this truth? So that when they grow up and they meet and face problems in life, when they cannot go certain places, they will go to the one who can. When they cannot do certain things, they will know somebody who could. And they will always see the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that they can trust and the one that who is able and willing. You remember earlier on in the Gospel of Mark, a leper came to our Lord. And the leper said, Jesus, if you will, if you are willing, heal me. And the Bible tells us something amazing. The leper said, if you are willing, heal me. And the Lord Jesus said, I am willing. I find myself in tears. It's such a simple reply, isn't it? Here someone come to you and say, if you are willing. And before he could say anything more, Jesus said, but I am willing. You try to go to your best friend and borrow money. You see whether they will say, yeah, we are willing to lend you. They will say, no lah, I also need money. No lah, in COVID, this trouble, difficult lah. No lah, our money is limited, resources limited. Have you tried asking from the Lord Jesus? Tell me exactly what is happening in your lives. Are you struggling with a particular sin that is destroying you? You know it. You cannot run away from it. But there is somebody who can save you from it. He is willing. Are you in any difficulties at home? Is there quarreling? Is there strain in relationship? You find it hard to forgive and forget and move on? Go to Jesus and tell him, because he is willing to listen. He is willing to help. He is all willing. The leper became cleansed. So can you. The Jews called the Gentiles little dogs. And so that was how the Lord Jesus Christ borrowed the same words, because he knew that all the Gentiles, including this Syrophoenician woman, she also knew how she's being addressed by the proud people of the Jews. But you realize something, the Lord was actually testing her and helping her to see. The Lord was actually describing her as dogs so that she can see that she is indeed unworthy, that she is indeed coming to ask for help when the Lord should not even give her the time to listen to her. And yet the Lord did. The Lord was opening her heart to recognize that though you have a daughter who is sick, well, why must I help your daughter? And she recognized that if the daughter were ever to be healed, it is not because she is somebody. It is not because she did something. It is purely because Jesus is merciful.
It is because Jesus is merciful to her. It is grace that saved the daughter. And she needed to learn this. This is how. This is the door that every one of us must enter to go to God, to be reconciled to God. That Jesus must show mercy. If not, the daughter will never be healed. And I hope that you see this and learn this precious lesson this Sunday evening, brothers and sisters. That it is always grace, grace, grace. It is always grace, grace, grace. If you are willing, and Jesus say, I am willing. And it is a word of grace and a promise of grace. And I hope that you are moved. That a horrible person like you with such horrible dark secrets, and God should forgive you of your sin. It could only be due to one reason, isn't it? That God is merciful. That God is kind. That God has reached out to you because He loved you. I hope that all of you here this evening, and children as well, drink very deeply and understand what the publican, what the tax collector meant when he was found hitting his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you hear the Lord Jesus saying this. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other man, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humble yourself before God. If people think you are a dog, so be it. You are worse than a dog, actually. They don't know only. Don't be proud about yourself. Humble yourself, especially when you come to God. The Magi came at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Magi described the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. The inscription on the cross of the Lord Jesus at Calvary stated, this is the King of the Jews. And people have actually misunderstood what all this means. It simply means this, that God had announced before the coming of Jesus that the Savior of the world that He would send would come from the Jewish family of King David. So therefore, He was born the King of the Jews. That doesn't mean He's only of the Jews only. No, that's not what it meant. And that He's the King of the Jews only. No, He's the King of every spiritual Jews as well. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. You have seen in His interaction with His Syrophoenician mother how lovely He is, how kind He is, how willing He is to help. How gracious He is. And I hope this evening, don't go away from church. Don't go away from this worship service without drinking, without knowing, without feeling this, brothers and sisters. How blessed you are to have such a wonderful Savior who is always ready to hear you and help you. Come to Him, brothers and sisters. Come. Because there is always help and always mercy if you come through Jesus Christ our Lord.